Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We're in the middle of our week together going through 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so far, the first couple days we had have been so powerful, so encouraging to me to examine the way I'm living my life and how I'm holding the treasure of Christ and drawing on that treasure as my strength in times of affliction, in times of persecution, and in times of suffering. And so we're going to continue on in that passage today, diving deeper and deeper into some amazing spiritual realities about carrying the death of Jesus in our bodies. What does that mean? And what does Paul mean when he discusses this? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I encourage you to go listen to the first couple episodes because I think they're so encouraging. And the way that Paul is encouraging us in Christ is just so amazing. It's amazing to see how the early Christians lived. And if you were listening yesterday, you'll know that I read a little bit from something called the Letter of Dionysius. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you can find it on the Vatican website. If you just Google like letter about early Christians, that will like is one of the first links that come up. And I just read it from the Vatican website. And this is something I read about once a year. It's a letter about how the Christians were acting in the Roman Empire. And it's an amazingly convicting thing to show us how should we be living in the modern world as Christians. So as we begin here, we are going to dive again into our psalm as we open in prayer. We're in Psalm 25, so just join me here as we put our time together, our next 10 minutes here before the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all the day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. There's a lot more there. I'm going to stop there. And we just pray, Lord, we pray that you would give us strength to trust in you. You are completely trustworthy. Because you are completely trustworthy, we put all of our hope in you, all of our faith in you, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from the circumstances we're in, Lord, from the hardships that we're going through. We just choose right now, whatever it is that's on every person's heart, that you would give them the power and the strength and the confidence to put their trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love how each psalm we're reading kind of confirms what we discussed the day before. And I love this because the reason, as Paul was saying yesterday, that they're struck down but not discouraged, that they're in affliction but they're not destroyed, is because they put their trust in the Lord. Because here, verse 3, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. That's one that you write on a sticky note and put it on your mirror. That's one that you memorize. Psalm 25, verse 3, no one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame. Friends, that is one I want to encourage you. Take that, write it down, memorize it, put it in your spiritual arsenal for spiritual warfare, that when the enemy comes at you, you can say back to him, no one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame. No one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame. Amen. So powerful. And we can live an upright way. We can live in hope because no one who hopes in the Lord will be put to shame. So let's get back to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to dive back in. Again, I'm going to read 7 through 12, and we're going to, I think, wrap up on the next few verses here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. I want to take up 10 through 12, because I think when we first read that, it's a little confusing. All this talk about, what do you mean carrying the death of Jesus in our bodies? What does that mean? That seems kind of weird. That seems kind of strange. But I want to go line by line. So remember, he says in 8 through 9, we're afflicted, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. So he's saying we have hope. We have hope in the midst of our circumstances. Why? Because we have treasure in earthen vessels. And what are we doing in our hope? We're carrying in our bodies, in our earthen vessels, the death of Jesus. And you think, why are we carrying death? Why would we carry death? That seems so weird and morbid. But we carry in our bodies the death of Jesus. What was the death of Jesus? It was the completion of the total wrath of God coming down on man and the reconciliation of God and man together. Jesus' death on the cross is an instrument of destruction for sin and evil. And it's a sign. This is why as Catholics, we have not just the cross, but the crucifix that we look at and carry around with us to remind us of the death of Jesus. Why? Because the death of Jesus is a place on Calvary where Jesus took death, the last enemy to be conquered, the thing that you and I could not conquer ourselves. Death was the thing that was the end of the road for the human race. It was the thing that destroyed us. And when Jesus dies, when the Son of God hangs on that cross and the devil thinks that he won, what Jesus is doing is he's weaponizing death. That death actually becomes a weapon, it says in scripture, by death you trampled death. By Jesus's death becomes a weapon against eternal death. And so now death, which was the most morbid, the most destructive, the most horrible thing, now becomes the greatest instrument of life. Again, this is so amazing of what God does in the kingdom. He turns everything around. And this is why Paul's saying we can be persecuted but not destroyed, because Jesus took the thing that was the most destructive. He took the thing that was the most hopeless and he made it not just a way of hope, but the source of hope. That the source of hope for each and every Christian lies in the death and resurrection of the person of Jesus. So he's saying, as a Christian, I'm carrying always with me the death of Jesus, the instrument, the reality. He says it in another way. I'm buried into his death. I'm crucified with Christ. Why? Because when I'm crucified with Christ, when I go through that process of death with him, of spiritual death with him through his crucifixion, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, carrying with us in our earthen vessels the death of our Lord over and over again. Nothing can touch us. Because we've been buried into Christ's death, we're giving up our mortal bodies over and over again to be crucified with Christ. Why? Because this death, this crucifixion with Christ, defeats death. It defeats the greatest enemy. It can defeat any enemy in your life. And through the blood of Jesus on the cross, we carry with us, we carry in our bodies the blood of Jesus on the cross. And everything, friends, comes under the blood. The blood cleanses you. The blood gives you power for eternal life. We carry in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. The only way we can live with him is if we die with him. So Paul and his counterparts are going out into the world. They're getting persecuted. They're getting destroyed. We go out into the world. People don't approve of us. They don't understand our lifestyles. Your coworker makes fun of you. That one friend from high school doesn't talk to you anymore. You can face it. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's hard. But you can face it. You can face that death. Because you're continuously carrying in your body the death of Jesus. You're undergoing crucifixion with him so that you can be raised to eternal life. And you're saying, nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch me. I love in John, Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, no one takes my life from me. but I lay it down freely. No one takes this from me. No one is putting me to death. No one put Jesus to death. He gave his life freely, so that in his crucifixion, in his death, death may be destroyed. And we participate as followers of Jesus willingly as he offers his life. We offer our lives with him on the cross every single time that we have mass and that sacrifice is being offered. We say, Jesus, include us in this sacrifice. Put us on the paten. Raise us up so that when we are crucified with you, when we die with you, even in these little deaths of rejection and suffering and pain and sorrow, we may be raised to new life. And as we undergo this crucifixion, these deaths, actually the life of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus, we now have access to in our bodies. He says, for while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake. I mean, he means this spiritually and physically. He's saying people around us are dying. We're dying, but we do this. We're being given up to death so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh as we're going to the cross with him. Friends, the more we die with him, the more we live with him. And Paul says in Romans, when we live with him, we will also reign with him. Nothing can touch you. And you may be sitting there and you may be saying, you don't know my circumstance though. You don't know how hard it is for me. You don't know what is touching me. You don't know everything that is going on in my whole life. And the thing is, friends, the story isn't over. And if something isn't raised to new life, this is the reality of life with Jesus. If something is not raised to new life yet, it just means that it will be in the future. In Jesus's book, it's not over until it's raised from the dead. But sometimes we're in the process of death and we can't see the other side. And Jesus is saying, just like I rose in 3 days, when you're crucified with me, when your flesh is crucified with me, when you tie yourself, when you hug yourself around even my dead body and you go into the grave with me, I will raise you through the power of the Holy Spirit to new life. And guess what? I already have through your baptism. Death is at work in us, but life in you. The work of Jesus's death and the work of his resurrection is always at work in us. Why? Because we hold this treasure in earthen vessels and the light of the glory of God, as we read earlier this week, shines in our hearts and we're being changed from glory to glory to glory. And part of that change and transformation from glory to glory, Jesus went from glory to glory. How? He died. His death is a moment of glory. It's hard to believe. With his marred, bloody face, his death is a moment of glory and his resurrection is a moment of glory. And in his death and in his resurrection, we are being changed from glory to glory. Death at work in us, but life in you. The life of Jesus is being made manifest in you. So if you feel like you're going through a slow, painful death, if you can't see the other side, friends, Jesus is with you. Hold on tight to him so you can be crucified with him again and again and again. In a way, this has already happened through our baptism, and your destiny is to be raised to new life with him. And if you can't see the new life, the reality is that it's coming and it's not over till it's over. So hold on tight and carry the death of Jesus with you so you can be raised to new life with him. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.